God bless you, brethren. We have some wonderful brethren with us. John England, who joins us quite a bit online. And he's, in fact, I don't know, it was probably a year ago that you and David Michael Duppins were on with us, right? Okay, so, and David Michael is with us today, and he's going to share some words with us, and John is too. And the Lord is going to bless us today. We give thanks to God. Well, John, would you like to lead off and share a word with us, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, and then introduce David Michael? Everybody calls him Michael, but he has those two names, David Michael Duppins. And he is a missionary. Well, would you call yourself a missionary? You're almost home over there, aren't you? He doesn't really call himself a missionary, I guess. He was born and raised over here, but he lives in Africa, and he's got a great work going on over there for the saints in Africa. So he's going to share some good words with you, too. And John Engel is going to share right now.
I was called of God through an extraordinary way. Back about 1971, and he's always had his hand on my life. I went... I kind of grew a little bit for about 10 years, but then I got discouraged and sort of went into neutral for 20 years. But his calling was still there, and he decided enough's enough. And so in 2001, had a wake-up call. And thank God, his mercy is so great. After 20 years of just stubborn refusal to press in and to just make myself his available as his servant, he still showed mercy and just did what he had to do to get my attention and to start a process, a triple time process of fiery cleansing, fiery trials to put to death the old man, at the same time just double and triple time pouring revelation out by his Holy Spirit. And I knew what I was receiving was correct doctrine and correct vision of spiritual realities, and was really growing in that, even going through a lot of trials and stuff, but growing in the knowledge of the Lord. And I came to a point about two or so years ago when I told the Lord that I realized that there was an area that I had not received revelation on yet, that I knew I did not have the understanding of, and that was eschatology, the end times. I knew that when I read Revelations, I had heard a lot of teachings, but I knew I had not heard the correct teaching, and I did not know for sure what those symbolic characters and stuff meant. You know, the beast and the woman and the man-child and the false prophet and the two witnesses and all that sort of thing. And, of course, all of us know what sort of teachings there are out there. And so I asked the Lord, because I knew that we are on the very doorstep of these end-time events, the last 7 years. And I did not want to enter into that time not understanding. And I believe that was a God-inspired prayer. And it was just maybe a day or so after that, it wasn't very long, that I was on the web and looking at a website. I can't even remember whose website it was, but on their links page was a link to America's Last Days. And I click over there and start looking around and start, in particular, looking at teachings on individual doctrines and areas where I knew I had received revelation. And I'm seeing the same mind, the same words, phrases, ways of putting things that I had heard from the Holy Spirit. I said, you know, this is clicking. This teacher here is really, really tuned in. And so then I started studying David's teachings about the end times. I started reading Hidden Manna for the End Times and listening to some of the audios. And the Holy Spirit just witnessed so strongly within me as I started just seeing the truth come forth, just clicking into place in the Word of God. And he says, this is it. This is what you prayed for. And so I've been rejoicing in this this unleavened bread, this hidden manna of understanding about the end times, along with a small remnant bunch of Christians that God is working with at this time. And praise God every day, folks, because I know you know too, just almost all of the saints that I know, I can't share these truths with. They don't have ears to hear and eyes to see right now, but we're being prepared to be able to teach them when the time is right, when the anointing of the latter rain is here. And I'm just so excited. I believe we're so close. But I'm here with a brother that God brought into my life about 3 or so years ago. And when I really needed a brother and a helping hand, and helped to deliver me out of the hands of some wolves that I thought were saints, and just helped me through some really bad times. And he's been a real brother, a real true brother to me since then. And so we've been kind of linked up, and he's responded almost 5 years ago to a call into missionary work in Ghana, West Africa, and he has poured his entire life, every dime he had and every bit of everything else into this work. He has labored and put together 4 40-foot containers of furniture, food, books, Bibles, children's toys, everything, probably including some kitchen sinks, to take over there and to help it enrich the lives of some very impoverished people. He works in a central city of Kumasi, Ghana, and it's there's a lot of poverty there, a lot of witchcraft. Even most of the Christians there are afraid of the witches because of the manifest power that they operate in over there. And he really has a work there. He concentrates on discipling and training people to, you know, be real workers and ministers for the Lord themselves. And so I hope that everyone will enjoy. He's going to share a word with us and some thoughts from the Lord. And please welcome a real brother in Christ, one that's like Paul, laid his whole life down and gone where the Lord told him to go and stayed where the Lord told him to stay and doing what the Lord told him to do. This is David Michael Duppins. Michael? He likes to be called Michael.
Oh, praise the Lord, saints. You know, it's a pleasure to be here with you all. It's a pleasure to once be back in the country. And I tell you, we're talking about a sovereign God. A God that's unmovable, unshakable, and unchangeable. And this is the God that I want to just speak about. The journey that he's had me on. For over 11 years being born again now. And it's really been just that, a true journey in him. A true journey in getting to know him. And so that's what I really want to share. It's about the journey. Because many people may be listening and they're not really sure about the journey that they've been having with God. The journey, the relationship with the Lord, they're not sure, has it really been a journey or has it just been a test and a trial? And this is about renewing your mind. Because if you look at this journey like it's a test and a trial and hasn't worked out for you, then you're not going to receive the fruits of what God has for you. So this is why I want to share some of my background, just a brief testimony. It would take days to tell you my whole testimony about how I've been delivered from Islam. I was a Muslim for 21 years. And how God would call me out. And he's calling many of you today. He's calling many of you right into his hands. And he's drawing you to him.
And the thing is, will you hear and will you answer? Many people listening today have a destiny in God that they have not yet tapped in. And they're still looking in all different strange places and strange areas. God, when are you going to use me? When are you going to fix me? When are you going to heal me? When are you going to deliver me? And it's already been done. And you haven't stepped into that dimension in God of realizing that He's called you out. He's delivered you. He's already healed you. So these are some of the things that I want to share today about faith. But before I go into that, I want to just, oh, that we should know Him more. And that's really what I've always said to Him. From the time when I was just wandering around for years, decades, looking for God in all the wrong places. But He found me. He delivered me and He's healed me. So it's my job and it's our job and it's our obligation to our Lord. You know, He died for us. It's a saying I like to use, Jesus died for me, you. What are you going to do about it? So I pose that question to many people around the world. And when you travel around the world, you know that the same problems we're having here in the U.S. are the same problems that people are challenged with all around the world. This is truly a global village. You know, in just a matter of 15 hours, you can be clearly around the world on a plane. And you can be stepping in your living room in one part of the day, and in the evening time or in the morning, be in another part of the world. So we're truly coming to a time where the world has appeared to be smaller. It's faster to get to different places of the world. So our scope and our spiritual insight and vision has to be much more broader and keener and be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying. So I want to share with you this journey. How God, over 11 years ago, delivered me from a 21-year of bondage in Islam. You know, this journey started with just still looking for Him for decades. And as I begin to just minister around, just be around some saints, you know, being a Muslim, that He was calling me out, pulling me out of that bondage. And I heard. And He told me once again, I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to leave that hometown and to go and just learn His ways and learn about Him. So I began that journey just being obedient. And today, this is what it's going to take for many of you that have been very disobedient to hearing God and Him drawing you out of places and circumstances and situations that you just refuse to leave. Soul tied to friends and families and relationships and jobs. A soul tied bondage that you just won't let go. So, you know, these are things that you're going to have to shake in these last days. All the bondages, you know. And he is not going to let up. This is a time for you to begin to minister to others, where it's not in time for you to be ministered to, but you to be the ministers. This is what we're finding in the church. So on this journey that I had 11 years ago, coming out of Islam, not even knowing the Word of God, and even once I was an altar boy in the Episcopal Church, but it wasn't meat, and it didn't have root in me, the Word. So religious bondage is something. And I sense that a lot of you out there today are still stuck in between religious bondage and occultic bondage. And God is wanting to deliver you today. We're going to need you to call in, write in, and touch this ministry. Because, you know, you need to be free. You need to be set free from these different bondages and the different things that have held you bound into religiosity. And I'm saying this very sincerely because you're talking and listening to someone that has been in this type of bondage, an occultic practice. You know, it's interesting, David, that, you know, I was a Muslim, but then I was looking for God in so many different places that I began transcendental meditation and just seeking a higher place that I can step into Him and find Him, a God, not the God. So, I even paid $450 to take a new demon, some type of Indian spirit demon. And many of you out there have done and sought yoga and have sought transcendental meditation and different forms of occultic practices. And I'm here to tell you that you've taken a spirit that you need to be delivered from. And until you get free from these different bondages, you're saying you're some kind of super saint and you want to wander around being the person to set the captive free when you're still in bondage yourself. So you must get free from a lot of these practices, from a lot of your past. So I'm here to tell you that you won't be truly free until you get delivered, healed, and set free from some of these practices. And if you partook of anything like this, any type of this occult practice, you by all means need to get free. So these are things that I want to begin to share in my past, that as this journey started going, that God was calling me out. I had a business, and he said I had the wrong relationship with money, and that I had to give it up, leave it, turn away from it. And of course, my friends and family members thought that you have poured 10 years of your life into this business. You poured 10 years of your life into this work, and you're now going to follow Jesus. Yes, and this is what I told them 11 years ago, that yes, this is what it's about. I've heard from God. And I remember my family said, oh, now you're hearing from God. You're talking to God. And many of you out there today, you know, it's about you hearing from God and you speaking to Him. And you're having a direct dialogue with Him, a communication. And some of you have never spoken to the Lord. So this is what in prayer and in studying the Word, getting closer to Him and letting revealing Himself to you is how you start communicating with the Lord. And, you know, I just sense very heavy, David, that there's a lot of people out there that don't know how to get a hold of God. You know, and I feel that strongly in my spirit today, so this is one of the people that we're going to really, really try to minister to. Those that really don't know how to get a hold of God. And those that are looking for God in all the wrong places. There's a reason why I'm here today. And so I must share my experiences so it can shine light in dark areas. You know, God has delivered me from much. So to whom much is given, much is required. And I take this very seriously about the walk, the call. I was a Muslim for 21 years. And it was a war in the mosque. And I got shot with the shotgun 3 times and lost my arm. And for the past 18 years, I've had to live with just one arm. And then I've had to come out of this bondage with recognizing that God had kept me in the midst of that. When I was praying to Allah and thinking that Allah was keeping me all the time, it was for the destiny I have in Christ. That following a false god and a moon god and idolatry and praying 5 times a day and more, none of that helped me. None of that delivered me. None of it set me free. Even still in the midst of that, bondage was just sunk into bondage. So I sense that there's some Muslims out there that just don't know how to get a hold, that will never give up Islam. You know, there was a time when I said I would never be a Christian again. But now, over 11 years now, it's nothing I would give for this call. I'll give everything, and I've given everything I have in the natural. So, speaking to people through this microphone, I want you to feel my heart, feel my expression of how someone that can be in deep bondage, how God can deliver them. So this journey that I've been on, separating myself from friends and family and drawing closer to Him, looking for Him, starting all over fresh. You know, when you don't know God, you don't know where to meet Him at. So this is why The Word of God is important. You must learn the Word of God. And it draws you to Him. And I began to just study the Word, and I went away into an isolated area, to the mountains, just to get alone with Him, to get close to Him, to meditate on His Word and establish a relationship with Him. Some people it can happen overnight, but with me it took some time. And it may take time for you to get a strong relationship established with God. A true oneness, and it's going to take a lot of sacrifice of yourself. He's going to strip a lot of things away. As I said, I didn't have the right relationship with money, because I've always worked and labored for things and money. And God began to say that, God of Mammon that you've been chasing all your life, I'm bringing it to a halt. And I know that God is saying that to you, some of you right now. You've been working 80 hours a week and you haven't been with your families, and you have now put yourself in deep debt and all the things of this world you're totally engulfed with and entangled with. And now this is a time for deliverance. This is a day that you should be set free. Did you recognize that the God of Mammon has just got you in bondage and the debt, and the Lord wants to set you free. And He's going to draw you closer. And I pray that He does. He draws everyone that's hearing this message closer to Him and setting you free from all of this, this false teaching and thinking of you acquiring the things of this world are going to make you happy. Well, in this journey of mine, as God began to strip things away from me and break me to dust, I began to realize I could see then. It was like the things that He had me stripping down, and the cars and the houses and the business, that I became more freer in Him to do His work and to do His will in my life. And as He began to strip them away, I realized that it was like a dark cloud that was covering me, that I couldn't see through. And as He took the layers off, that I began to see clear, and I could understand His Word clearer, recognizing that, hey, I really got myself into a mess, working and laboring for years to build business that had no fruits in the spirit realm. And He began to just draw me closer to Him, and I realized that I needed to go get some biblical training, so I went to traditional Bible college. Well, wasn't that a degree of a mess for me? That could be good in many aspects to learn the Word. And then some of the things you can get even put into religious bondage. Well, thank God that I was free enough not to be put in religious bondage. And there's a lot of you out there today that are double-minded and have a religious bondage on you. And the Lord wants to set you free today. So we want you to constantly just listen to the broadcast and see what God, the instructions that God are giving you, and to get free. So this bondage that I saw in the Bible college, and how the people were coming out of traditional churches and coming to know the Lord more, for myself, recognizing that the bondage that now I was coming in from, one bondage of Islam and the bondage of working and laboring for myself, now I was stepping into a new bondage. These things that we're trying to get closer to in this world with God can oftentimes put us in deeper bondage. And this thing I was trying to do was to get closer to Him and know more of His Word was even becoming more of a problem for me by listening to man's way of how to get closer to God. And recognizing that, I went through my Bible college experience, seminary, and knowing that God was drawing me Himself to Him. He was drawing me to Himself. And that it's no way I'm coming out of one bondage to another. So that began to start another phase of the journey. of graduating from Bible college and moving to another state, being obedient to the Lord, and the call for this work in Africa began. I remember when I was in Bible college and just seeking the Lord and Him saying that, and He took me to Hosea and He said, I'll give you my vineyards from there. Your vineyards from there. So He was going to speak to me once I made this transition to Atlanta, Georgia. And He was going to speak to me about the next phase of the work that He had for me. And He began to talk to me and just tell me about Africa. And I've had prophetic words and I've heard from Him about that. But you know, I was never prepared to be a full-time missionary in Africa. Yes, willing to do the work. But what about the call? What about the call of sacrificing all and going to a far and distant land where I knew just one or two people? And, you know, this is what it's about here. That there's a call of God on many of your lives, that He's trying to draw you to Him, and He's trying to bring you into a place where your spiritual destiny is with Him. And you just won't shake the bondage. You know, this is what we're doing today. We want to have you rethink some of these things and step into the Spirit and seeing what God is saying to you about your spiritual destiny. So as I begin to just listen to Him about Africa, He specifically in 2000 told me to go to, He was calling me to Ghana, West Africa, March of 2000. And I began to prepare. You know, and He said it was going to cost me something. He said I shouldn't go to Africa empty. And I should go to prepare a container, 40-foot container, and minister to the people. You know, in the course of this time, we've taken thousands of Bibles, thousands of Christian literature and books and teaching materials, computers and things to build a people. And so, you know, it wasn't easy. It was very difficult on this aspect of the journey because it took more of self-denial, just denying myself, just rejecting what the flesh would say about, you know, what about America? What about what I'm doing here? And I sense that God is now, He wants more of His word to be established around the world. You know, that's one thing we have in America, and when you start traveling around the world, you recognize that people around the world look at America like it's some big God. And it's a very hard thing to say, but this is how they look at America, like it's a big God. Many people. And they physically, every day, people are dying. Stowaways on ships and on planes. And just trying to get to America by sea and by air. And by lying and cheating and stealing. Just to get here and partake of the delicacies that America has. And so I began to see more of this as I began to travel. And recognizing that, you know, the way I was looking at America is not the way that other people look at. People look at this like this is their deliverance, this is their place of refuge and a place of salvation. This is in the natural realm we're talking about. They're certainly not in the spiritual realm. And so people around the world lust to come here. And as Americans here, growing up with the gospel, those that are growing up with the gospel, you really have a responsibility to each one teach one and pass the message on. And really, this is really the season to begin to minister to others and pass some light. Share some light. You know, I like to say, get a little Jesus dust on people. Just begin to minister and witness to people more. Because there's people all around the world just trying and literally dying every day to come to this nation. So I begin to just recognize that America really was a place that people saw as a big God that was going to be their deliverance. And I began to really just realize how much it wasn't for me. And knowing that why God was calling me to Africa and to do this work. As the journey stepped stepped up, picked up the pace. He was calling me to now set up a work of training center. And the name of our ministry is the Carpenter's House Missionary Outreach Training Center, where it's the training for reigning of the third day church. Because this is truly the time and the season we're in, the third day. And people need to be trained how to reign. How to reign with the Lord, which is not being taught in the traditional churches. They're chasing mama just like the people in their jobs. So you have the shepherds that are like sheep, and the sheep are unfortunately not like the shepherd. So on this journey in Africa, you know, Africa is a unique place. America, the spirit of North America is ran by capitalism. And the continent of Africa in the spirit realm is spiritualism. It's controlled by in the spirit realm. America, you know, in North America, we chase money. And in the spirit realm, money is the point of bondage. And it's all about economics and wealth building and things of that nature that hold the people captive. But in Africa, it's spiritualism, and it's demonic and oppressive. And I won't get a chance to get into some of the deep-rooted witchcraft that we deal with in our ministry, but it's even unbelievable. Maybe David can share some things later about some of the serious witchcraft that we're dealing with, we're challenged with, and how we still have an obligation to set the captive free. So, saints, this is the time now that you begin to realize that you're blessed with a blessing here in America. To be free to witness the gospel and to study and learn the word. Because many places around the world, you don't have that ability to study and learn the word of God. And here, that's one thing that we have liberty in, learning. And we're blessed to have an understanding of how to obtain certain aspects of wealth and to advance the kingdom of God. And this is the season that we must grow in God and advance the kingdom of God. So I want to share a teaching on faith. And this journey that I've been on has been strictly about that. It's been about growing in my faith, trusting in the Lord, and knowing that He is sovereign. He's a sovereign God. He's a sovereign God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So, on this journey of faith, God began to show me in my walk the different levels of faith. And He gave me these 12 different levels of faith that I begin to share. But as I was on this journey in Africa, setting up the work, you know, we went to a city that's in the middle part of the country called Kumasi. And it's in the Ashanti Kingdom. And it's a nation where there are a great many amount of Christians. They even say the nation is 68% Christians. And it's Muslims and an occultic background. But the people just are not living for Jesus. So the thing is, you ask yourself, what are you doing in the kingdom? In kingdom growth with your family? Are you praying your family in the kingdom? Are you praying your friends into the kingdom? What part, aspect are you growing in faith? So we want to share with you today about some growth in faith. How the different levels of growing in faith, growing in God. So I'll interject as I'll share more with you about Ghana, West Africa, as I begin to explain how God took me to one level of faith, moving in the realms of faith, growing in God. God wants His church to deal with heart surgery today. And that's what we're dealing with today, a heart surgery. You know, our hearts are not right when lined up with the Word of God. And today, now is an opportunity for you to renew your mind and see that some of the levels of faith that you're living in, you're not advancing the kingdom. So we're going to deal with the spirit of faith in the hearts and in the minds of the servants of God. I want to start with common faith. I want to have Brother John, he's going to read the scriptures of Romans 1 and 17. Common faith.
Romans 1, 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
You know, this common faith is when you're first born again. It's just simple faith. Just faith upon faith. Growing in God, getting closer to Him by faith. You know? And the question today is, where is your faith in the things of God and what you've asked God to do? Are you living in a state of common faith? Or do you have little faith, which is the second one? Little faith. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13.
2 Corinthians 4, 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak.
You know, I want David to jump in on this now, and we kind of have an open talk about these different levels of faith. We're talking about a man of God that has been through lots of levels of faith, and hearing his own testimony of how God has just renewed his mind and how he's put together this work to go around the globe teaching and training people through the internet and through radio. You know, this work that he's doing, this is unleavened bread. And this work that he's teaching weekly, you know, it's really inspiring to me. You know, meeting with the saints yesterday, we had just a wonderful time in the Lord. And after I just came back from Africa 2 weeks ago, and after being I was there for 6 months this time. Usually, more I'm in there a little longer, and I'll be back this next time, maybe even 8 to 9 months. Knowing how the saints are just holding down, they're advancing the kingdom and holding ground and taking more ground from the enemy. You know, it's very inspiring to come back and sit with the saints, then seeing other saints around the country that are just losing ground. And, you know, this is really what, when I come back and I see, I want to be around the saints and the children of God that are advancing the kingdom. And so, certainly little faith. It's not a time and a season to have little faith about anything. So, David, I want you to jump in and just minister to us in this area that we're discussing.
Of little faith? Well, you know, when I came into the kingdom, I didn't know the way to receive faith, but it started coming naturally to me. And I knew a lot of people around me that didn't seem to have a lot of faith, and they were really kind of awed at my faith. And I only knew one secret, and that is to love the Word of God with all your heart, mind, and soul, to get into the Word, because faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word. So I loved the Word. It just came natural to me to begin to want to walk in it, to begin to want to act in it, and to begin to want to walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as I was seeing the early disciples were doing. It came natural to me to have faith. And it was because I loved the Word of God. I loved to read the Word. I was what everybody called fanatical, you know, about reading the Word of God. I didn't have any time for anything else, really. And I saw people around me that were really caught up in the world. They went to church. They were faithful in that part, you know, but they didn't have that love for the Word. Well, that love for the Word made me want to walk as a disciple of Jesus and to begin to mimic and act upon what I was seeing in the Word. And I found God faithful whenever I would act upon what I saw in the Word and speak what I saw in the Word, and stepped out to speak into existence the things that God said were ours. And I saw mighty miracles, and I told, and other people said, wow, you've got great faith. You know what? And some of them would say that they thought I had the gifts of faith, you know, and I thought, you know, I really don't believe that. I really didn't feel like that was the truth. Now, I knew I had a gift of faith, and I know that anybody that gets into the Word will have that, but I experienced a few times gifts of faith. And they were overwhelming, even to the extent of overwhelming your natural, normal reluctances, and you know, you just know that you know. But you know, most of my faith experiences were just saying, "Okay, Lord, I see what you're saying, and I believe what you're saying, and I'm not going to speak nor agree with anything else other than that." And I was just very, what I considered what I had was a gift of stubbornness. Rather than a gift of faith, I was just stubborn. I just, I didn't many times feel that overwhelming, I just know that I know, and no room for doubt creeping in or unbelief. I was attacked by doubt and unbelief, but I was stubborn. You know, God can use your stubbornness. He wants us to be stubborn for Him. So, I was just stubborn. I learned that, hey, if I don't depart from this word, I'll be blessed. And if I stand on this word and speak it and agree with it and act on it, that God will give it to me. And just like God told Joshua, you know, wherever you put the sole of your feet, I'm going to give it to you, you know, in that promised land. And I considered that this whole book was a promised land for me, because everywhere I was going to stand on it, God's going to give it to me. So I was just stubborn. I mean, these thoughts would come to me just like they come to you, but I just would cast them down, cast them down, cast them down. I remember what my old friend Ray Taylor used to say. You know, he said, you got to put enough of the word in there long enough until it starts overcoming those old ingrained thoughts and teachings that you've been raised up with, the ideas of taking care of yourself, which your parents normally put into you, you know, rather than casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And with this renewed mind, I was able to constantly cast down these thoughts. And I believe I know what the gift of faith is, and I've experienced it. And that's why I know that most of what I do is not that at all. It's just being stubborn. It's just being stubborn for God like I was stubborn for the world. You know, somebody asked me the other day, you know, about my feelings. And I told them, I said, well, it's nice to have those feelings of certainty. But, and I've experienced that, but I feel like that's not been the norm for me. You know, it's more like just constantly casting those thoughts down that are contrary to the Word of God, like 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 tells us. You know, this is our warfare. Our warfare is, okay, Lord, you said it. I agree with it. I'm not going to depart from it. So, little faith to me, I saw around me all the time, and I considered it because people had not really got into the Word enough to renew their minds, to bring to their remembrance what the Lord had said, and this was causing them to walk in the world and not in the kingdom. You know, we can't walk in the kingdom, and we can't walk in the Spirit, and we can't walk as sons of God without walking by faith. That's it. I mean, if you want to walk in the Spirit, people say, what's walking in the Spirit? Well, I can tell you what it is. It's walking by faith. It's walking by faith in the Lord. It's hearing His voice. And, you know, not that voice in your right ear or your left ear that I've heard some people talk about over the years, but the voice of the Word of God ruling in your heart, coming up, being brought to remembrance by the Holy Spirit in your own heart, you know, the voice of the Lord. And that, to me, is what overcomes that little faith that most Christians have because they're idolaters. Most Christians have a little faith because everything else in their life is more important than a relationship with God through the Word of God. And that we have to overcome, saints. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, that, you know, little faith. Matthew 6 and 30 is giving us a description about little faith also. You know, share with that, John. Matthew 6 and 30.
Okay. But if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
You know, it's all about your little faith there in the scriptures, recognizing that a lot of people are really operating in the kingdom, as David said, you know. Little faith, O ye of little faith. Well, today is a day of new beginnings for you to step into the dimensions of great faith. Just as people have seen David operate in great faith, you can operate in great faith by renewing your mind. So this is why we're going to share some faith scriptures for you, building your faith, stepping into glory and the glory of God, and stepping into the newness of the Spirit and walking into a new place. You know, in Hebrews 11, we see a dichotomy of the saints, just really a hall of fame of saints with faith, that some did not even fulfill all that they were hoping for. So now we're going to step into the third one, weak faith. Romans 4 and 19. You know, the saints were constantly limiting the personal benefits and the privileges in the gospel with this weak faith. Share with us.
Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
David, share with us something about this. You know, this is what we're seeing oftentimes in the body with the saints, just the weak faith. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember that when God was calling me out from giving up my business, and that family members were saying that, you know, you're really going mad now. You're even hearing from God and talking to God. And they began to pull on this newfound Christian's weak faith. And began to pull me to and fro a little and saying, questioning, well, I know I'm hearing from you, Lord, but, you know, this really doesn't make sense. 10 years of work and to just give it up and leave it. You know, share with me some of that, and with the saints about this weak faith, that even when you've heard from God and you've known you heard from God, how you can be double-minded and have this degree of weak faith creep in.
Well, I'll give you a little quick example before I go into that. The other day, I guess it was about a week ago, my wife came and told me that the washing machine was making a lot of noise, you know. And so I heard it. It was growling and slapping and, you know, just making all kinds of funny noises, you know. And I says, you know, I've prayed over washing machines quite a few times, and the Lord has blessed them. And even the seals leaking and transmissions slipping. And matter of fact, she told me this time, she said that she had to reach in there and start the thing to spinning or something. You know, I forget what it was, something like that, you know. And I said, well, you just go ahead and run it. It'll go. It'll run. I said, we won't have any problems with that thing. So she did. And haven't heard any more noises. You know, of course, the noises at the beginning were making those noises, you know. But as we went along, it just kind of faded out. And so now it sounds normal again. Well, you know, we are sons of God. You know, this is a wonderful revelation. We need to find out who we are on this earth. You know, we are the sons of the living God. And we're sons of God through faith, Galatians 3 says. But we need to be manifest sons of God. Well, we're sons of God by faith because we believe that we have the authority that Jesus said we had. That what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We agree with God in those things, and we begin to step out and maybe even take a chance on looking foolish or sounding foolish. And that's exactly what we need to do. Be fools for Christ, you know. Step out there and act like we really believe that we have this authority to bind and loose, to forbid and permit, and step out and do it. And the double-mindedness just comes in when we walk in the Spirit and then we walk in the flesh. We listen to the Word of God and then we listen to that old nagging doubt, you know, and we begin to walk by sight. You know, as sons of God, we can't walk as sons of God. We can't walk in the Spirit. We can't abide in Christ unless we're walking by faith in what He says and casting down these other thoughts, these reasonings. You know, the old man is ruled by the five senses. And but the new man is ruled by the born again, washed in the blood senses. You know, and we see things the way the Scripture tells us to see things. Seeing that His divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, the Scripture says, Peter said, you know. We've got to see that. Do we see that, or do we see just the problems around us, you know? If we really see that we've been given all of this by Christ, we're going to start acting in a different way. We're going to start thinking in a different way. We're going to see, some people think that that you're prideful if you begin to speak that way. Well, you're prideful if you hold to your stubbornness in rebelling against the Word of God, which tells you who you are. Are you born from above? Do you accept everything God's given you by faith? Have you been born again? Do you accept that by faith, that you've been born again, spirit, soul, body, circumstances, everything? Now, born again is not just that experience you had when you first stepped into the kingdom and had a new spirit and got a revelation of God. Born again is born from above. We're constantly being born again as we humble ourselves to that Word that came down out of heaven, that manna that came down out of heaven to give us life. So, as we walk in that life and we begin to speak and act on these things, we begin to manifest our sonship. We begin to look like Jesus, you know. Why'd they call those disciples Christians, you know? Because they were like Christ. They acted like Him. They spoke like Him. They had authority. They did miracles. They had signs. They had power, you know. And we have all this, folks. Seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us. We have all this. We need to begin to act it out and take the position that the Lord's given us in this world to glorify Him. I don't know if you had something specific in mind there, Michael, or not, but that's what came to mind.